DC.
I'm Glenn Drummond, running for Sheridan County Commissioner. Sheridan County looks out for its people. Our youth deserve a strong start, and our seniors deserve reliable support without confusion or delay. I grew up here, and I know this community shows up for people at every stage of life. I will stand up for our youth and support our seniors so both have what they need to move forward. That is Sheridan County, strong, supportive, and built around its people. Vote Glenn Drummond for Sheridan County Commissioner, paid for by Glenn Drummond.
Doug, do kids come with a wearing Chevrolet detail warranty? Why do you ask? Juice boxes, crackers, melted crayons, spills.
Say no more, Bob. Every parent knows what you're talking about.
Can the Wearing Chevrolet Detail Shop fix this vehicle?
We'll shampoo the carpet, steam clean the interior, and make it look like your kids were never there.
Doug, that's worth every penny.
Get your vehicle back to showroom condition at Wearing Chevrolet Detail Shop, 409 Broadway, or WearingSheridan.com.
The Sheridan Media Online Marketplace is now open through 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Now, it's your chance to score big local savings. Hungry? Need a night out? Tackling a project? Looking to treat yourself? Start here at SheridanMedia.com. Save up to half what you'd normally pay on local restaurants, entertainment, health services, hardware, and a lot more. Now, if you spot something you love, click it, buy it, done. Sheridan Media Online Marketplace, open now through 10 a.m. tomorrow morning at SheridanMedia.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Thursday, July 23rd, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. Americans reported more than 20.9 billion lost to internet crimes in 2025. That's according to the latest FBI Internet Crime Complaint Center report, the IC3. Investments and cryptocurrency schemes inflicted the greatest financial damage, while older adults, those 60 and older, suffered the largest reported losses, accounting for $7.7 billion. Complaints to the FBI's IC3 increased by 37%, and losses increased by 59% compared to 2024. This morning, we are joined by First Federal Bank and Trust EVP Technology and Security Officer, Tyler Nierimer, Payments Risk and Operations Specialist, Jessica Cunningham, and our own Sheridan County Undersheriff, Lieutenant Doug Sanders. Good morning, folks. I want to welcome you to the show, and I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be with us, to come in and talk about this travesty that is happening using technology to basically steal billions, not millions, billions of dollars from Americans. And this happens every day. First, I'd like folks to know just exactly what your duties are. So what is the duty of an EVP technology and security officer?
Yeah. It's broad. We mostly, in my role, I'm in charge of the computers, the network, the software that we use, building the security around those software packages so that, the bad guys can't get in, and then doing also research on situations like phishing stuff that tries to come through our email system or sometimes, times when our customers have phishing that comes through them, we will help to do some research on that sort of stuff.
Tyler, people hear that word phishing. It's with a PH.
With a PH.
What exactly is that?
Yeah, it's not floating down the Tongue River with a line in the water.
It's not the good times.
No, it's not the good times. It's where people send a scam email, and generally they're trying to get information from you or get you to take an action where that'll separate you from your money. Typically, it starts off with an email saying, hey, you've got a bill or hey, the government has a warrant out for you or those sorts of things. and you need to contact us. And within that, they provide all of the contact information. You click the link or make the phone call to the number that they've provided. And through all of that, you're basically getting in contact with the scammer. The scammer then can do whatever they want. As far as the conversation goes, they may ask you for an account number. They may ask you for your name, your address, any sort of that personally identifiable information that will allow them to commit fraud. Now, they may not take the money right there. They may just use that information to feed the next step in their fraud cycle. Sometimes, though, they will. They'll say, hey, you know, we're Microsoft and we've noticed that there's something goofy going on your system. We want to remote into your system. Please click, you know, go to this site and download this. And essentially what you're doing is you're giving scammers access to your computer and everything that's on it. So if you've got online banking on your computer or password saved, potentially the bad guys can get that information and then get into your online banking and leverage that. Now, if you've got your security set up in some of the more modern ways with multi-factor authentication, that definitely helps. But if you've logged into your online banking from your home computer and the bad guy has control of that, they can do anything that you can do on your computer. So if you're logged in, they're into your online banking as you, and they can you know, execute a file or a funds transfer or any of those sorts of things.
Jessica, what are the duties of the payments risk and operations specialist?
Yeah, so kind of like Tyler, it's a pretty broad job, but essentially I understand how every payment system works, how the money moves in each of them.
I'm complicated.
Very complicated. I'm educated and have done several like accreditations, so very intense trainings and education in understanding all the rulemaking bodies, how it moves either which way. So within that and being able to understand how the money moves, we get to understand like the risk and the trends. And when fraudsters are attempting to try to, you know, intercept and start trying to take that money, or we have somebody that comes in and makes a report. So, you know, somebody brings in a check that looks unusual. I'll have a teller that brings it back to me. I start looking at it, reviewing it, and we're able to determine maybe some different steps that can be taken to hopefully mitigate a loss to the individual because of how we know that presentment will look on the other side and how that loss would maybe come back to our customer in the bank. So really, yeah, just understanding how money moves constantly behind the scenes. So yeah, kind of
wow.
Really broad.
Yeah.
It's hard to really kind of put in a really good explanation on it. So,
but understanding all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's A, probably mm-hmm. takes a really long time.
Yep.
B, a lot of study, as you said.
Yeah.
And C, you could move over and become a financial forensics officer probably pretty easily.
Yeah.
You can see the streams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where the money's flowing.
Yep. And kind of identify oftentimes, you know, if a fraudster is moving money or starting in one facet, we understand that they're not going to keep it in one facet. So they're going to try and move it into another payment system. So if they start in check, they're going to probably try to move that to ACH or maybe gift cards or things along those lines to try to get that money really hard to track down at a certain point, which makes then the undersheriff and the police department's job really hard, but also the bank's job really hard to recover funds for you. Yeah.
And of course, Undersheriff, I want to thank you for getting with me and helping to make this program happen. This is something that you and I have kind of talked about for quite some time, spoken with the Sheriff's Office about it for quite some time. My sponsors, First Federal Bank and Trust, I have had you on before, I believe, Tyler.
Yes.
And we've discussed this same thing. It still kind of blows my mind that we deal with this, that it's increasing at the rate that it is, I guess. That's the part that really surprises me. So people will notice that I specified reported losses. Because under Sheriff, I specified that because too many of these types of crimes go unreported.
Yeah, that is correct. I mean, we actually touched upon that earlier when we were talking collectively, and the reality is there's a lot of those where they might call the financial institution, potentially get reimbursement, then they don't even call us. A lot of times with these crimes too, they're like, yeah, I'm not going to get the money back. Why make the report, right? Obviously, the fraud cases, you're right, they're so important that obviously we field fraud of the month every time we're here on your show. In addition to that, we started keeping statistical data with regard to frauds because they are becoming so prevalent in our casework. So it is very important to go through and see the steps. We've actually touched upon some of the resources that citizens have at their disposal to kind of follow up on some of these frauds as well.
Keeping those statistics is important. Reporting these crimes, even if you feel you can't get a hold of that money, is important because what happens, and correct me if I'm wrong, Undersheriff, but the sheriff can then take these statistics to powers that be and say, we need funding for a program or we need something because look at these statistics. And look at the amounts of money that our residents, citizens are losing every single year. So folks, please, I know that there's a component of shame that comes with these things. Hey, they've almost gotten me multiple times. If it wasn't for the information that I learned from the sheriff's office, from the PD, I probably would have been a victim myself. Report these things. Even if you feel that, you know, if there's no more that I can get out of it, then you can help the next individual, quite possibly, by giving these numbers over, and the sheriff can do a little bit more about it. What types of scams are First Federal Bank and Trust seeing the most nowadays?
It's typically been bank impersonation scams is what we are hearing from our customers. We have had several people report that they are getting a fraud alert text from our fraud department. So somebody trying to get them to click on a link through a fraud text from us to then try to honestly try to get their online banking credentials or debit card credentials. Honestly, at times it's even just a verbal phone call of somebody calling and acting like they're our fraud department. So we get this information and we understand that there are some mitigating things that we need to put into place. To be also very candid, we understand that like social security numbers, date of birth, mother, maiden name, all that information is no longer really all that private. Mm-hmm. It has been compromised, to be honest. And what we used to be able to use as verification information as a bank is no longer very secure information for us. So we have to look at different ways and implementation to verify our customers when they're also calling in, because we get people that are impersonating our customers trying to call in and trying to get information that way as well. So sometimes you'll see banks that are implementing some different features also that you may think is, you know, a hindrance,
but it's yes for me
very much so. But there is usually a method to the madness because what we are seeing and what we are hearing. I work with a fraud user group within California and Hawaii and Washington. And what our goal is to really hear what those trends are in the bigger areas before they get here. So we know and can hopefully prepare for what's coming up the pipeline. So
how often are you speaking with these individuals and kind of a follow-up question to that, the information that they do give you, pretty scary stuff.
Yep. Yep. I speak with them on a monthly basis. So I run that meeting every month with them. We feel like it's beneficial from bank to bank to know what's going on, and the information that we share is better to know sooner rather than later. And we have an email group. So if they're aware of something soon, we can get it in an email group so other banks are knowledgeable as soon as possible.
Tyler, when it comes to clicking on these links, takes just one.
Yeah, just one. And with that click, depending on the security or how secure your systems are, they may just get access from that one click. Hopefully you've got, you know, endpoint protection, you know, antivirus, those sorts of things that will help to mitigate that somewhat, maybe give you an alert. But many times it is just the one click.
How have you seen these frauds change over the last couple of years?
they have become more convincing. When I first got into the industry, phishing emails were easy to identify. They were totally, I mean, they were misspelled, they were, you know, bad grammar, all that sort of stuff. With the advances in things like, you know, probably 5-10 years ago, there was things like Grammarly, you know, spell check, all that sort of stuff. So the bad guys started to use the technology. So they got better and more convincing and less fragmented sounding. The way they're moving now with AI is absolutely terrifying, because they are now reporting that phishing campaigns are entirely automated through AI. So from the construction of the email to the construction of the fake website to the collection of the data that you put into those websites, it is all being driven by AI, and these are being sold as toolkits to the attackers. So bad guy builds it, sells it to another bad guy to you know, exfiltrate the information or the money, and it's just moving faster and faster. With some of the other AI technologies, to Jessica's point about the phone calls, what we're doing right now on the radio is a risk, because mm-hmm. my voice is now out on the internet, and it only takes a few seconds of a clip to duplicate my voice. So
just as a side note, we have a gentleman here who's been at the forefront of AI development, and long before even the news started talking about it. And kind of as a fun, he said, why don't you come in here real quick? And I heard myself do an entire 30-second spot that I never recorded. And he said, Floyd, I can do that clear across the board. Now, back then, because this was years ago now, I could tell it wasn't me during certain inflections. And I have a bit of a lazy tongue sometimes, and it didn't pick that up. Now, that's all fixable. They have 10 seconds, and I've got you.
It is. And it's to the point now where you don't even have to fully script it. You can say, read to me or create a phone call that talks to a customer of a bank and guides them through, you know, whatever sort of path you want them to go down for the conversation.
And it'll figure out the language.
It'll figure out the language. And anymore, I don't know if you've ever messed with AI lately, but you can talk to AI and it'll talk back to you. So imagine that technology in the hands of a bad guy. They don't even have to guide the conversation. They just have to say, this is where I want it to go. Make sure that the conversation heads this way.
Or the AI could even teach me how to do it.
The AI can teach you how to do it.
Quote unquote, better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be a better bad guy.
Right.
It's incredible.
Right. Now, the good thing is AI can also teach you how to be a better good guy. And to, you know, we use, and many technology companies use AI to help identify the scams. But that then points to, I mean, that only works with technology, right? So you know, I can detect a fish better because of AI. But when I make when I receive a phone call, there's no AI that's listening and saying, "Hey, this call sounds a little scammy." We have to be that human firewall on that sort of stuff.
And we're going to talk about being that human firewall a little bit in the next half. We're going to have more with our Sheridan County Sheriff's Office and the First Federal Bank and Trust Security Team. Right after this, you're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
Hi, this is Sarah. Whether you're hitting the road or hitting the trail, Sheridan Honda and Power Sports will get you adventure ready. Get 10% summer savings off any service up to $100. From oil changes, brakes, tires, batteries, and AC for your car, to expert maintenance for your motorcycle, ATV, or side-by-side, our factory-trained technicians have you covered. Don't let a breakdown hinder your summer fun. Schedule your appointment today. Sheridan Honda and Power Sports, where every adventure starts with dependable service.
When someone you love starts needing help, everything changes. Suddenly, you're worrying about rides to appointments, meals, chores, and making sure they're okay when you're not there. That's what Synergy Home Care is all about. Real support, real connection, real dignity. From senior in-home care, companionship to memory care, and hospital to home support, and specialized home care, it's care that works around your family. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com or call 674-HOME. That's 674-H-O-M-E. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
Is your AC working? But only kind of. Well, it's time to call Carl's Heating and Air Conditioning. He'll cool your house faster than you can say, "Why is the dog lying on the tile again?" But hey, Carl doesn't just battle heat. He also tackles radon mitigation. Because what's worse than being hot and cranky? Breathing radioactive gas while being hot and cranky. Don't sweat it. Carl's got this. Find Carl's Heating and Air Conditioning in the Country Bounties business directory.
Planning a summer road trip? Before you load the kids, the cooler, and the luggage, make one important stop first. Midas Tire and Auto's ready for the road event. Midas will give you a free road trip ready inspection, and you could win a $50 gas card from Farmers Co-op. We'll inspect your brakes, tires, battery, lights, fluids, belts, and hoses, and air conditioning. If something needs attention, we can often repair it the same day. And we offer money-saving coupons on oil changes, tires, brakes, shocks, and more. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning we're joined by First Federal Bank and Trust EVP Technology and Security Officer Tyler Nehremer, Payments Risk and Operations Specialist Jessica Cunningham, and our Sheridan County Undersheriff, Lieutenant Doug Sanders. We're talking about scams, frauds, AI impersonations, and more. They operate through calls, emails, and text. And the undersheriff during the break said, we don't see it in the mail very much anymore. And Tyler said, well, that costed the bad guys money. And they have found a free way to be scammers. Now, we talked about creating you, the human firewall. Slowing down. That is something that you guys sent me. Let's talk about how slowing down can really make a difference. Undersheriff.
Yeah, no, it's very important. We've touched upon this before where we talked about slowing down. They create that sense of urgency in which you have to act without thinking. This opportunity is going to fade quickly. So you always have time on your side. I think Tyler put it best. It was pause and... God, help me with it, Tyler. What was your?
I wrote it down at the time. It was really just to pause and think. That's not to say that people aren't thinking. It's just that they are trying to create a sense of urgency where you're not in a mode where you're working with your logical mind.
Yeah.
You're working with your emotional mind.
Panic.
Exactly. And so really the goal there is to just slow down. And even if it's a urgent, and I use air quotes for that, no place that's wanting to legitimately help you to get out of a situation or you know, get your bill paid is going to object to you calling them back.
I've heard all kinds of things. My nephew's in jail in El Salvador. He needs $5,000 right now or they're going to put his feet to the flames. Undersheriff, you and I have spoken about the fake warrants out for people's arrests that show up in a text message. Yeah, that's kind of scary. I need to do something about this. Most law-abiding citizens are really concerned about something like that.
Yeah, and to touch upon what Tyler said, they create that sense of urgency. And then also we see a hook too, right? They want to have buy-in on the citizens' end, the victim's end. And so we actually recently had that warrant scam that was sent out, I think it was phone calls and text. My daughter was actually a recipient of that, and this one actually involved me. It was Lieutenant Doug Sanders of Sheridan County Sheriff's Office, a warrant. It actually had numerous people in town that messaged me saying, hey, it's a scam. So nice that they recognized that. I guess bode to me that it wasn't my voice that I was hearing on the other end. It was actually a male with a distinctly Southern accent. With regard to that, he wasn't fielding and talking to calls. What he wanted the citizen to do was he left a message with a phone, like a phone number to call him back. And when you call him back, he doesn't answer, but he leaves a message. That's kind of the hook there. So the people that call him back, I mean, he gets to monitor those voice messages and be able to kind of pick through which ones he wants to call back. And depending on the information that is left by the citizen victim, he can prioritize those ones. And we do see that our elderly are predominantly more victim and prone to this scam than others. That was the scam in this one. We might've had one victim on our end from the sheriff's office that was a recipient of this scam. But otherwise most people recognized it. And that's one specifically with warrants, at least with our agency, we don't take, the patrol deputies do not take any form of bond or warrant money. We can do that through the sheriff's office at the sheriff's office. More frequently, though, it's now handled by your court. You know, if it's through district court, circuit court, it'll be handled that way. So that's just being also aware of what we do and don't do. But generally speaking, law enforcement's not going to seek you out wanting payment.
Yeah.
And some of those things, when it is payment, it's gift cards and dot cards. And those are something I don't know any financial institution or any law enforcement agency that's ever going to be like, hey, we need you to send us gift card numbers. I've never heard of that actually occurring legitimately.
That is a sure red flag right there. And the reason being, Jessica, they can't be tracked.
They can't be tracked. Nope.
What other avenues have they tried? Because, I mean, we have been kind of screaming it from the mountaintops. Hey, if they're asking for gift cards, this is a scam. Mm-hmm. Have they kind of tried to find a workaround? Have the bad guys tried to find some other way?
Yeah, they will convince people to even go into the bank and send a wire. And they will tell them, you know, don't say anything to your bank. Your bank may ask questions. So they may say, oh, what's the reason for this wire? Tell them you're going to be getting work done on your house, or you're sending funds to a friend elsewhere. And you're not going to give them any other information. They will direct the individual as much as possible to minimize the red flags. They will even sometimes have the individual on the phone while we're there, which is a major red flag for us, for our frontline staff, which then usually brings in myself or somebody else to stop and maybe have a conversation. But wire is definitely another one, because once that money's gone, it's gone. We can't get those funds back. And the funds that are sent to the other institution, the funds are then moved from that institution to another institution and then to another institution. They will also prompt people to withdraw large sums of cash and send it by mail.
Wow.
Yep. And again, once the cash is gone, it's gone. The bank can't get that money back for you. So,
and that's a great point, because I think some people find that there's a little bit of a safety net involved when it goes through one bank to another, as opposed to gift cards or cash or anything like that. But it's the same thing. Once that money moves from one account to another account, it's very difficult for us and or the bank to get that money back. Secondly, Jessica touched upon it really well. Bank representatives, tellers are trained to spot this activity. And so if the bank teller is telling you, hey, I think this could be a fraud, you really need to listen to them, because we've actually fielded cases where the victim's gone in. And like she said, some of them are on the phone with the scammer, and they tell them it's a fraud, you don't do it. They follow through with that transaction, and then they have some peace of mind to think about it after the fact and then try to recoup on it. And you can't. Once you voluntarily send that money off, the bank, unless I'm mistaken, can't reimburse you for it. You knowingly did that on your own free will. So if a bank representative tells you they think it's fraudulent, I mean, that's never happened to me. I mean, it doesn't happen very often. So when it does, you need to really pay attention to it.
Absolutely. And now when it does come to our tellers, mm-hmm. And the training that they receive from the bank, what are they told to try and identify, to try and help? Because I do remember a conversation a number of years ago. You can't tell me what to do with my money. Is that law?
It's not necessarily law, but I mean, we can't withhold you from your own money.
Yeah.
So again, you know, as Tyler, myself, and our COO are learning about different fraud trends, we take that to our frontline staff and say, this is what we're hearing. These are things you need to be mindful of. If you're hearing things or you're seeing sudden, unusual activity from our customers, we're very fortunate being a community bank. We are very familiar with our customer base. We know our customers. We have the opportunity to greet most of them by name, hear them by phone.
We maybe even grew very up familiar. With a couple.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So we can sometimes see a sudden trend that wouldn't make sense and say, hey, is there something maybe going on? People might see that as being intrusive. Again, our goal is never to be nosy. It really is to see, you know, we might be aware of something big picture going on that we just don't want you to be a victim of. And we just want to slow something down. If our tellers feel like there's just something unusual, that's typically when they elevate maybe a situation for bigger conversation, maybe from myself or manager. And again, we just want to have a conversation. And oftentimes I'm very candid and just say, hey, there's a lot of fraud and scams going on. I just want to make sure you're safe. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to lose your money. Your money's, you know, very sacred to you. And we just want you to be okay. So
I was in Vegas once and Floyd dropped a penny or two to the point where my bank called me and said, are you in Las Vegas, buddy? We're just kind of curious. And they verified that with me. Now, I thought, wow, why is my bank calling me? But then my wife looked at me and said, well, look at what you just withdrew. Mm-hmm. They're taking care of you. Mm-hmm. And I really did appreciate that because unusual spending in large amounts. And as you were talking about these accounts, they have a waterfall mm-hmm. of these accounts. Yeah. And people are babysitting these things. Yeah. $10,000 show up. That same minute, $10,000 is transferred and transferred again and transferred again. Yeah. Are you able, mm-hmm. as an, and you're not, I shouldn't say investigator, but yeah. as security, are you able to see these? Mm-hmm. Or once it trades institution, it's in the nether?
It's kind of in the nether. You can do your best to try to work bank to bank. I can be kind of annoyance to another institution and say, hey, work with me. But I'm at the mercy of what they're willing to do. And oftentimes it is protected information on that side. That's other people's account information. And oftentimes maybe that other account, that individual is also a victim that's been in this ploy as well. Or it's a mule account. So it's not even who the individual was. So once it's gone, it's gone. I can do my best. But Under Sheriff and I were talking in Tyler the other day. It's really hard once it's gone to really trace it down. I can kind of see what's happening at a certain point, but it's pretty minimal.
Under Sheriff, she talked about mules and she talked about people who are maybe they don't even know that they're involved in a scam. Could you elaborate on that?
I definitely can. So what she's referring to is not, I guess, to kind of take a step back, not every bank requires somebody to go in to set up an account. You can do it electronically and never be seen. And so we have people that have fraudulent accounts that have been generated, and we have people that are probably took somebody else's personal information and have an account to create it. So once that money, say, leaves our local bank and goes to another bank, then it can quickly be withdrawn. They can withdraw different amounts, low amounts, so it might not rise to the level where a bank representative is going to say, hey, that's weird. With that being said, that's the difficulty because I've worked a couple cases, one locally where it went from one bank to another bank, and I wasn't able to get any assistance on that other end. With it being mules or people unwillingly, on this case I'm referencing where it went to the other end, it went to Miami, and then I could see charges because I wrote a search warrant, found other victims from other banks. It was a basically, it was a tractor fraud. So the people wired money to this financial institution from this financial institution locally to another one. And then so I got, I guess, all the bank information and the withdrawals. And you would see small amount withdrawals out of Miami, like for meals and stuff. And so I also spoke to an FBI partner that I had talked to with regard to this case for assistance, because obviously Miami's pretty far from me. And I don't think the sheriff would let me go down there for following.
Yeah.
But there are mules where they're a victim on their end saying, hey, can you work for me? Might be the person or a company front saying, hey, can you manage these accounts? I just need you to take this money out and then move it to somewhere else. And so they're unwillingly thinking, hey,
I'm an account manager.
Yeah, I work for this company. I move money. I got to use this card to make purchases. That's what I'm allowed to do during my normal day. And they have no idea. They're actually essentially transferring those stolen fraudulent funds from one to another. And then that's how they keep moving it. And they somewhat separate themselves from the act.
it's incredible the way that they have figured out, you know, and how to smoke screen themselves through the use of innocent individuals thinking that they're working a legitimate job.
And another difficult part of that is specific to this one is when they push this fraud, they try to prolong it, because once the bank is onto it and keen of it and knows it's likely a fraudulent account, they shut it down. So what they try to do is they try to prolong that process. So in this instance, the guy purchased a tractor out of state, and then they handled the transportation costs associated with it, so that when obviously the tractor is never going to arrive, they're like, yep, vehicle shipping truck broke down. We'll cut you a break on the shipping costs. We'll pay for that, but it'll be another week. Because the longer that account's open, the more people, because this isn't just local to our area.
They're nationwide. Doing it all over the nation. And if I keep you thinking it's legitimate, you won't report it.
Yep.
And so I can keep fishing, looking for more victims through that process. I got to take another quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan County Sheriff's Office and the First Federal Bank and Trust security team right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching a community commitment match to support our local fire districts by donating $35,000.
Plus, a Wyoming Community Foundation donor advised fund is matching that amount, and now we're asking the community to help us match an additional $35,000. Sheridan County, let's help fund our local fire districts who protect us every day.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm County Commissioner Christy Haswell. I'm proud of my yes vote to support selecting a planning consultant in partnership with the City of Sheridan to begin updating our joint planning area plan that hasn't been updated since 2017. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, Sheridan County's population grew by 7.5% between 2020 and 2025. As our community grows, we need proactive planning and leaders who vote to prepare for the future. Please vote to re-elect Christy Haswell on August 18th. Thank you. Paid for by Friends of Christy Haswell.
Dan Marshall here with Captain Clean. Your heating and cooling system are the lungs of your home or business, taking air in and breathing it out, directly affecting your indoor air quality. Normal day-to-day activity generates lots of contaminants and air pollutants such as dander, dust, and chemicals. Call today for your free HVAC cleaning estimate. It's 100% free, and nobody has the equipment or expertise to clean HVAC like we do. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726. Affordable choices for healthy living.
Enjoy your summer in a new GMC pickup, or enjoy the mountain cruise in a new Jeep. Hi, this is Nathan Mullinex, Sheridan Motors, and I'd like to say thanks for supporting us at Sheridan Motors. And remember, there's no need to travel out of town to buy a vehicle. We have everything you need. We can meet or beat any deal in town or out of town. Ram is currently offering a 12% rebate on new half-ton pickups, and GMC is offering employee pricing on half-ton pickups. There's no better time to buy. We're working hard for you, so come see us at Sheridan Motors, your hometown dealer.
What does your dream garage look like? All your tools perfectly organized and stored in a shiny new Carlisle toolbox? Or a whole wall of every Milwaukee power tool you could ever want? How about a car lift? Ooh, a car lift on wheels! You need to check out the Real Deals flyer from Napa. It has everything you could ever want for your dream garage. You're welcome. Stop in the store or view it online. If Napa doesn't have it, they can get it. Napa Auto Parts in Sheridan, making dream garages come true.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. Proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with First Federal Bank and Trust EVP Technology and Security Officer Tyler Nierimer, Payments Risk and Operations Specialist Jessica Cunningham, and our Sheridan County Undersheriff, Lieutenant Doug Sanders. Now, before during the break, you brought up another scam that you guys would like to talk about. I would like to touch on this scam, and then if we could just go around the room at the conclusion of this and talk about those red flags and actions that I can take with my bank to maybe help stem, stop, maybe even become more aware. Undersheriff, what was that scam that you were talking about you wanted to address with folks?
We wanted to touch upon the overpayment scam. So that's can vary anything from you received, I think we had one victim this month where they received a check for a job that they thought they had. And they were given some money from the company or the business that they were now employed by to purchase items. That check was a fraudulent check, or and essentially what they did is then they're prompted to make purchases for probably work-related items through that to this fictitious company, and that's how they get the funds. And then obviously that check doesn't clear, and then they're out that money. We've seen variations of this. We've seen a lot of that where somebody might send, oh, I sent you too much money. I'm sorry, for whatever reason. I was supposed to send you $2,000. I sent you $3,500. And we had it where they might say, hey, send the majority of it back of the difference, or send the entire difference back. And so they're like, yeah, nope, that makes sense. And then they send those funds back, and it's usually a quicker means of payment, like maybe a wire, gift cards or something. And then that check obviously doesn't clear because it's a fictitious check, and then they're out those funds.
Essentially, before the check clears, I need that money, that scam money, sent directly to me. So I'm going to put that sense of urgency, as we talked about before, on top of you. You have got to pay this back as soon as possible. And Jessica, you said, what, 24 hours on a check?
Yep. So if there is a fraudulent check in your account, well, that's actually on your account that you didn't actually initiate, you have 24 hours to return that for the bank to recoup your funds. In these instances where somebody gives you a check that they say is good and you're going to go make purchases, we get that returned to us within about 3 days, and we are withdrawing those funds immediately and saying, hey, you owe us this money. And so it's a pretty quick process. Check still moves pretty slow, but depending on which side you're on, it's a pretty quick time frame, and you're either owing the bank or you need to let us know that a fraudulent check has cleared your account that you didn't write and authorize.
And just for clarification, Jessica, so if, like in this instance, they send me a check, right? I deposit the check. I initially see those funds deposited into my account.
Yeah.
How long, if you can say, does it generally take before you notice that that check is fraudulent?
Yeah, so that other bank will typically have that check returned to you within like 3 business days. So that other, the bank that you deposited it at, will have it returned probably within 3 business days, and we'll be contacting you at that point in time saying, hey, this check is fraudulent. You're out this money at this point in time.
And that's where the funds availability policies of your various banks come in. Yeah. That's why there's a delay. I mean, it might be immediately available for you to use, but it's not necessarily immediately in your account because you do have to wait for that clearing process to occur. So
when you deposit your paycheck, you can spend $200 of it right now. The rest of it, you got to wait.
Yes. Yeah. That's a typical funds availability type policy. And that's why those things exist.
Now, I'm running out of time with you guys. I would let's touch on, Tyler, from your point of view, red flags that the average resident can watch out for technology wise.
Yeah. From a technology side, any communication that you're not expecting is generally a pretty good red flag, especially if they're asking you to take immediate action. If it's a company that you've done business with, still exercise caution, because we see that, you know, the bad guys are scamming common companies, especially common companies within the area. They're smart to that. I mean, the internet can tell you what companies do business in Sheridan, Wyoming. You know, who's our utility companies? Who's our internet service providers? So if you're not expecting a communication, just be extra cautious with that, and reach out not through that same email that you received the communication through, but give the company a call, because if you're replying to the email, you might be replying to the scammer.
2 times I avoided being scammed because I did just that. I hung up and then I called the company, who said, you've been zeroed out since 2008. The other time I hung up, went directly to the real estate agent, and they said, we've had someone living in that house for 6 months. 2 separate scams almost got me. But because I went directly to the company and asked those questions, I avoided becoming a victim.
I want to touch upon that. Jessica had a great point, because we talked about, you know, verifying the phone number, right? Don't use the phone number they provide, or that might be in that generated document that they have. Go through and independently find the phone number for that business. But a lot of times, and Jessica can add on this, when you go through your email prompted, like a search engine, to find that phone number, it might be a sponsored phone number.
Yeah. So the fraudsters, when they're sending these emails or texts, say like a merchant and they're pretending to be this merchant or the bank, they will pay for the top slot of like that merchant name. So for example, say you are trying to work with Etsy and you're wanting to do a refund. The scammers will pay for like this top spot when you search for Etsy and have their communication as that top slot. So when you're trying to work with Etsy, so to speak, you're now working with the scammer and giving them your bank information and your card information.
And the way the way these search engines work now is they put those sponsored ads at the top of the search engines, and you, we've all seen it, you know, and we've all experienced it. You do a search and those first couple of items aren't necessarily the actual company. It's placed ad sponsorship of people that are trying, and the bad guys use this.
Tyler, is there any identifying mark on that?
There's usually a little bit of, depending on the search engine you use, there's usually a little frame around it, or it might say a sponsored ad or sponsored placement, but it's very, if you're not looking for it, it's very easy to overlook.
A great example of that is like booking for a certain hotel. When you search it up, and I actually fell victim to this and booked through like booking.com or hotels.com initially, because those were the sponsored ones for that. I had to go down three or four to where you find, like, you called about the one that kind of has it centered, but then I found a local number to that actual state that hotel was in. And so hotels are just a prime example, because I do see that a lot.
Yeah, because there's booking companies who pay for the prime location at the top of the search engine. And so I know exactly what you're talking about, because they almost got me on a trip once. So let's talk about what a bank can do legally when I do find myself in that situation. I only got about 4 minutes left. If I feel that I've been scammed, who do I contact? Let's say just at your bank or any bank in general.
Yeah, so you come on in, you let somebody know, and we start working with you. Oftentimes, it'll be like a banker that'll sit down and we inquire, you know, what information was provided. And we start seeing, they usually are letting me know at a certain point, I'm looking behind the scenes, seeing what money movement has taken place, seeing what we need to stop. I'll start working immediately if funds have been moved, if there's a way I can attempt to recover funds within working with other institutions. If you've given out your account number and routing number, we're going to prompt you to close that account and we're going to have you open another one. And within all of that, we're going to work with you diligently. We're going to recommend you go and put in a police report. We can't require you to do so, but we highly recommend it. And then as the bank, we're going to try to hopefully see what trends, you know, and other different ways to mitigate these things. And ultimately try to get in with the public and try to educate to eliminate these things. But I mean, fraud keeps on going, but
Well, time is of the essence on these things. So even if you suspect that you've been victim to a scam, we would recommend that you reach out because you know, as the clock ticks, your money gets farther and farther away from you.
And they're just like you two individuals, there are individuals within these institutions that are battling against this every single day. This is why you're there. You're there to help individuals through this trying time. I've had friends who've had their identity stolen, and that is an absolute nightmare to get through because they can take advantage of not just your finances, a whole slew of information. You need to get on this as soon as possible if you have any suspicion that something like this has taken place and you may not feel, I don't know what to do next. Fine, get a family member, have that conversation, have sons, daughters, moms help you out, get on top of this, and go file a report with the sheriff's office. Primary right there, get the sheriff on your side. I've got about a minute left. Tyler, one more thing that you would tell someone to avoid this.
Well, I guess one thing that I would encourage people to do is when you bank with a community bank, you're going to be able to get in touch with a person. When you bank with some of the bigger banks that are out there, you're probably going to get in a phone queue and you're going to be just frustrated beyond belief. So I would encourage people to bank with community banks where they can go into an office and they can talk to somebody. They can call somebody, as Jessica said earlier. They probably know them by name. You know, if First Federal is your bank of choice, we would love that. But there are great community banks throughout Sheridan. So,
Jessica.
Yeah. If you do feel that you have been, you know, scammed or anything along those lines, whether you bank with First Federal or another bank, just go in anywhere. Use a trusted resource. If you don't feel comfortable talking to a family member, stop in anywhere. We're here to help. This is a part of what we do. Or stop into the police station. There's a whole lot of empathy here. This happens on a daily basis. Whatever we can do to help, this is what we want to do to support our community.
30 seconds under, Sheriff.
They touched upon all the key points there, but yeah, reach out to us. One of the first questions we always ask when we see a legitimate fraud where they've provided any potential banking information is to reach out and contact that bank ASAP.
Don't be embarrassed, folks. This happens to the best of us. These guys are trying to stay one step ahead of the pros, and the pros are battling back with the shielding that they can provide. Make sure that you contact your bank. Make sure that you contact the sheriff's office. I want to thank all of you for coming in this morning. This was an absolute pleasure for me to get this information out there for as many people as possible. Thank you for taking the time. Undersheriff, thank you for helping to set this up. I appreciate all of you. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
Scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
The media attacks him. The insiders attack him. The political establishment attacks him. Why? Because Chuck Gray gets results. Chuck Gray stood with President Trump and fought to keep President Trump on the ballot. And he defended election integrity, requiring proof of citizenship to vote. Chuck stopped a massive foreign-owned wind project from taking over Wyoming land. And stopped China, because Chuck Gray will always take the fight to America's enemies. In Congress, Chuck will protect girls' sports, take on the woke agenda, and stand with President Trump. President Trump noticed Chuck Gray's America First work.
Chuck Gray. Great job, Chuck.
The attacks are fake. Chuck Gray is fighting for Wyoming values, Wyoming families, and Wyoming's future. Wyoming doesn't back down, and neither does Chuck Gray.
I'm Chuck Gray, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Citizens for Chuck Gray.
Doug, it's hot outside.
Yes, it is. You need an air conditioning tune-up?
Yeah, my truck blows hot air.
That's not air conditioning. That's misery.
I'd rather sweat in the gym than in my truck.
Before the summer heat gets worse, let the certified service technicians here at Waring Chevrolet inspect your air conditioning system so you can enjoy the hot summer days in the comfort of your cool vehicle.
Cold air?
That's the goal. Schedule your AC tune-up at WaringSheridan.com or give us a call at 674-6419.
The Sheridan Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items this Thursday and every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. through September 10th. See the best our hardworking local producers have to offer at the Sheridan Farmers Market, Thursday evenings in Whitney Commons Park. Sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And remember, please leave your pet.